And welcome to What's Up Japan, our daily program featuring the latest topics in Japan and around the world. I'm Yuriko Yamada.
And I'm Robert Jefferson.
Please do stay with us for the next 20 minutes. We first bring you today's angle. Nepal's Constituent Assembly decided on May 28th to end the country's nearly 240-year-long monarchy, marking a turning point to lead the country into a new era of peace and democracy. In today's angle, we hear from Professor Masayuki Tanigawa of Nagasaki University, who's an expert on Nepalese politics and society.
これまでネパールはビシュヌ神の化身である国王が統治する世界唯一のヒンズー教国でしたが、
Nepal used to be the only Hindu country in the world where the king, who's an incarnation of Vishnu, ruled the country. However, with the abolishment of the monarchy, it declared itself a democratic republican country. This sort of drastic regime transition usually takes place through bloody revolutions or coups. But the abolishment of the monarchy in Nepal was decided by a majority vote in the elected assembly. If the peaceful transition from a monarchy to a republic could take place successfully, Nepal can become an ideal model of democratization for other developing countries.
Professor Tanigawa explains who pushed forward the abolishment of the monarchy.
王政廃止を強く要求し実現したのはネパール共産党毛沢東主義派。
The Communist Party of Nepal, Maoist, strongly demanded and realized the abolition of the monarchy. The Maoist group was founded in 1995. In the following year, it started the People's War and expanded its armed and violent revolutionary war from the rural agricultural villages to the whole of the nation. In April 2006, it amassed a large pro-democracy movement and overthrew the dictatorship of King Gyanendra in cooperation with other parliamentary political parties and ushered in a party-centered parliamentary government. In constituent assembly elections in April this year, the Maoists won a landslide victory, acquiring nearly 40% of the total seats in the assembly. The abolishment of the monarchy and declaration of a republic is a result of their pro-democracy movement.
What allowed the Maoists to expand their power?
まずネパール社会の急激なグローバル化です。ネパールは1990年代以降グローバル化を受け入れ、
First of all, it was the drastic opening of Nepalese society. Nepal accepted the wave of globalization in the 1990s and pushed forward the liberalization of its politics, economy, and society. As a result, foreign information flooded in, which shook the traditional social norms and instantly energized society. Along with economic liberalization, economic disparity as well as regional gaps began to widen rapidly, leading to resentment among the rural farmers and urban residents suffering dire poverty. The Maoists responded to this anger and expanded their power by speaking on behalf of them. On the other hand, the conventional political parties ignored the desperate requests from the suffering farmers and urban population and pursued their own party interests, leading to widespread corruption and a betrayal of the people's trust. The king sometimes aggressively intervened in politics, such as dismissing the prime minister and dissolving the parliament, which led to the strengthening of his dictatorship and loss of support of the people. The Maoists thoroughly criticized the corrupted conventional political parties and garnered expanded support from the people who have been demanding drastic change. If we look at international relations, the king tried to maintain and strengthen the monarchy based on the hostile relationship between India and China. But when the relationship between those two countries improved in the 1990s, the king lost leverage. The Maoists reacted to the changes in the domestic and international situation with a carrot and stick approach. In this way, they expanded their support base, leading them to bring down the monarchy.
Now that republicanism has been realized, what's the challenge for the new government?
第一に、マオイストは 40% 弱の議席を占める第一党ですが、過半数には及ばず、
First of all, although the Maoists are the leading party with almost 40% of the seats in the assembly, they don't have a majority and have to form a coalition. However, it won't be easy for them to adjust as parliamentarians because of their history of fighting war, with Maoism as their basic principle. There are other difficult problems, such as how to deal with almost 20,000 soldiers of the People's Liberation Army and the Young Communist League, whose violent demonstrations have been criticized. There are also serious ethnic problems. The Maoists are seeking a solution in self-government based on ethnicity and federalism, but this could lead to ethnic confrontation. As for the lives of the people, urgent countermeasures are needed in light of the deteriorating living environment, such as poverty, unemployment, energy scarcity, and price hikes. The abolishment of the monarchy is only a change in the form of government, and newly born Nepal has a lot of problems to solve. The Maoists are facing the challenge of how to solve these problems and to establish a stable coalition government.
Today we heard from Professor Masayuki Tanigawa of Nagasaki University about Nepal, which has abolished the monarchy and begun cementing a new order for the country. And it was read by Robert Jefferson. Now we bring you today's report. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, President of the Republic of Liberia, made a visit to Japan last week for TICAD 4, the 4th Tokyo International Conference on African Development. Mrs. Johnson Sirleaf is Africa's first democratically elected female president. Widely known as the Iron Lady, she has dedicated herself to empowering women in Liberia. Radio Japan had an exclusive interview with President Johnson Sirleaf, asking her the potential for women in African development.
We try to get as many women as possible into government. Of course, we look for commitment and competence in doing so. We haven't been able to get full 50% equity and participation by women, but we have put women in strategic places. Five of our ministers are women. Five of the 15 local governors, what we call superintendents, are women. Two of the five justices on the Supreme Court are women. Inspector General, and at the junior level, we have many more. We have over 30% women in junior ministers. So we do hope that all of this sends a very strong signal to women and to girls that Liberia believes in gender equity and Liberia will promote their empowerment.
Liberia is located on the west coast of Africa with a population of 3.5 million people. It's known as the first independent republic in Africa. In 1989, the armed forces rose in revolt against